it'll be very powerful to those who have an ear to hear. Who's got an ear to hear this morning? Well, we've got about six. Who's got an ear to hear this morning? Oh, come on. If I say it a third time, maybe I'll get everyone to have an ear to hear. Listen, you know, we don't approach the scriptures in a casual way, do we? We approach the scriptures with expectation. And an expectation of God produces. Because we're taught, Matthew 21, 22, believe and you shall receive. So it's very important that we enter into the scriptures with an attitude of faith. Belief is very important. So then, let me ask it again, third time. Who's got ears to hear this morning? Okay, we're getting there. Praise God. Well, let's go quickly then. I want us to learn how to take every thought captive. And I think we're going to have something very powerful this morning as we take this on board. Every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Please turn in the scripture to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Powerful instruction for every Christian. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10, 5. It says this. Casting down imaginations and every, does everyone say every? Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Now then, what's a high thing? A high thing. Well, a high thing in the Greek is quite interesting. It means a barrier. It means possibly a presumption. What happens is it's something that's constructed as a high thing. Now watch this. What it means is you could find yourself in a position where you've, through presuming the wrong thing in your life, having the wrong ideas on things, you've built a barrier up. And it's a big barrier. The devil didn't even put it there. It's been put there through wrong thinking. Wrong thinking produces wrong believing. Wrong believing results in wrong receiving. It's not just a catchy little expression. It's the truth. And if we know the truth and apply the truth sets us free. So a high thing can be something that's a wrong idea, wrong thinking on our part, and it becomes a barrier to our future in God. So it's very important we don't have wrong thinking. They create barriers in our life, presumptions. You presume something about someone. I mean, I've given the illustration before, you know, someone in church, for example, you go and have a coffee afterwards. Someone's there innocently having a coffee did you see the way she looked at me? Did you see the way she looked at me? How dare she look at me like that? I don't know what's wrong. I've always been nice to her. You see the way she looked at me? Oh, she's got a problem with me. I never liked her anyway. I never really liked her. She was always a bit funny. I didn't like her. She's always a bit funny. You know, something about her, and actually something about her family as well. The whole lot of them. And all of a sudden, out of nothing, a presumption, wrong thinking. You see what happens? All of a sudden now, you've got a barrier there. And this innocent person, there's a barrier. I mean, you created a barrier. There was nothing going on. They didn't mean any harm. They were just, it's just the look on their face. Some people can't help that. Sometimes I've had a look on my face. People have wondered what it was. It looks, I can look serious. It's, you know, I don't mean anything by it. Overlook it, please. I just want the best for everyone. You know. And this is an interesting thing that happens. A barrier is built then, but what happens is it's a high thing. The Bible calls it a high thing. It's a barrier, not only to stop our communicating with that person, let's say, if it is a person in this example, but it could be to stop us in our future. It could stop all sorts of things. And this is the way that we have to be very careful. This is why the scripture says, and we should read it again, let's read it again and get it right and take it into our minds. Watch this now, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations, this is what we're to do, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You see, the knowledge of God is this, even if they do think bad of me, even if they think the worst of me, even if they've done all sorts of things, what's my attitude to them has to be love, forgiveness. I'm not going to hold it. If they think that, well, God bless them, the poor darlings. You never know what happened in their lives. There's a reason for it, perhaps. You know, who knows? But, you know, as for me and my life as a Christian, I must make a commitment to walk in love. The Christian walk is a walk of love. We've got to walk in love and forgiveness. Love and forgiveness, and that's our responsibility. We do it by yielding to what this is teaching us. So when we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when there's wrong thinking taking place, the scriptures are saying, take it into captivity. Take hold of it. Don't be passive. Don't try and be passive with it or push it to the back of your mind. Don't do that. Take it into captivity. Take it prisoner. Throw it in the prison with all the other bad thoughts. Now, it's so important for us to do this. And if we don't learn to do this, we won't live the life that Jesus died to give us. A life of peace with God, peace with ourselves, great relationships, real joy, and the ability to become all God has created us to be. And it comes down to choosing to believe what God says more than believing our feelings or what other people say or our circumstances. I spoke last night to those dear brothers and sisters in Pakistan, and what we spoke about was interesting. Acts 16, Paul and Silas in the jail, beaten, whipped, flogged. They could have had every excuse to be complaining, whining, and whinging. Silas could have been saying to Paul, you said you were following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, in the beginning of that chapter, says he led you not to go into Asia. Well, you know, are you sure you're following the Holy Spirit? Look where we are. You've got us beaten, whipped, and flogged, and now we're fastened in the... Our feet are fastened in stocks in the inner cell, bleeding and bruised. What are they doing? At midnight, they're singing to God, praising God. And then the walls fall down. Their chains pop off. And instead of committing suicide, which would have been a better way out for the jailer, knowing what the Romans would have done to him if he'd have let the prisoners escape, he finds through a shout that they're all still there. And then he runs and says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the answer comes, believe. Simple. Believe. No religious ritual. Just believe. But watch this. You go then to the New Testament book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is written 10 years after that event. And in the beginning of that book, it starts to the bishops in Philippi. That tells you that that little event started a church that in 10 years grew to the extent that it had leaders, including bishops, in place. Isn't that something? You see what happens? When someone has the right thinking in a situation, walls come down, the whole thing changes. A church is established, a church grows, things flourish when people think right. And right thinking for the Christian is taking those thoughts captive and saying, I'm going to praise God. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm not looking at what surrounds me. I'm not living in the natural. I'm living the supernatural life of Jesus. I'm living the mountain moving faith life. I'm in the realm of all things are possible. I'm not in the natural realm. I'm not living the natural life. I've moved on from that when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Now I'm in the realm of miracles, the supernatural, the power of the gospel. And I tell you this, any Christian who doesn't live with the power of Jesus isn't living that Christian life. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, have nothing to do with them. If it's a Christian church, there needs to be power. There's no power, no Jesus. No miracles, no Jesus. Where Jesus is, there's miracles. That's the truth. So, it says this in Galatians 4, 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 4, 6 and 7. About us, who we are, and our right thinking. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So maybe someone here this morning has asked themselves, well, how come then I'm sick? If my Heavenly Father is so wonderful, why have I got so many problems? Doesn't your God help you, His child? And if you've been tempted to ask God, I'm your child, why is this happening to me? I want you to know this morning that that's exactly how Jesus was being aimed at by the enemy 2,000 years ago. The devil tried to play the same trick on Jesus. In Matthew 4, 3, it says this. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The devil's intention was to make Jesus doubt his sonship. And the devil wants to do the same thing to Christians today. The devil wants us to doubt that we are the children of God. If he can get us to doubt that we're the children of God, he can get us to doubt what the scriptures say about the children of God. And then we don't live in that realm that I've been talking about. He wants to destroy the knowledge and understanding of our sonship. daughtership and in the body of believers as a whole. He wants to destroy that understanding that we are sons and daughters of God. Because of this reason, he knows that once you really believe that you are a son of God, something happens and you begin then to live as an heir of God through Christ. As soon as we have an understanding that we are a son or a daughter of God and it becomes real and strong in our thinking, what happens is we start to live with a different expectation in our lives. So the enemy is trying to stop us at the first point. In Mark 4, it says, as soon as the word of God is sown into the heart, the devil comes along to try and steal it. If he can steal it, he'll try and steal it before you begin to believe it. If he can do that, he can rob you of the truth of who you are in Christ. And that's it. That's a strategy he has. As a son, as an heir of God, we inherit all the blessings of God which Jesus died to give us. It includes salvation, healing, provision, wholeness, favor, intimacy with God, and answered prayers. And Jesus rose from the dead to make sure that what he died to give you, you get. He's alive today to enforce the blood covenant. If you're an heir of God through Christ, this means that you're joint heirs with Jesus. Romans 8:17 says this, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified also together. So this inheritance, Jesus' inheritance, is our inheritance. What a provision for us. What an opportunity for us. And it starts by taking thoughts captive and saying, I'm not going to think those thoughts anymore. I'm going to think the thoughts of God. I am going to determine that my life is defined not by what I feel, not by my emotions, but rather by what the Bible says as a covenant to me, a blood-bought child of Jesus. You know, advertisers, they're very clever advertisers. When the first PR company was started, because cigarette wholesalers wanted to sell cigarettes to women. They were already selling cigarettes to men, but they noticed that women weren't smoking cigarettes. So they asked someone if they could come up with something. The first PR company was formed targeting women, and they managed to sell cigarettes very successfully to women. But what they noted was this, that you could influence and change the minds of the masses, not through the truth. They were surprised. They thought that the masses would be swayed by the truth. But no, it wasn't the truth. It was emotions. So advertising companies understand how to sell things now, and they're not looking to try and sell facts and figures that doesn't sell. What sells very easily is emotions. So when you see an advert now, it's aimed at your emotions to get you emotionally involved. Now what happens a lot of the time is this, with Christians, we allow our emotions to move us. But you know, we weren't called to be like the masses. If you're a believer in Jesus, you're a very special person. You're a very special person on planet Earth with a purpose of God. You're not part of the masses. You're meant to think differently. The new creation that we are, as described in the New Testament, is so radically different. It's a new life. Completely new life. to think completely differently to the old way of thinking. So differently that we don't even one of the difficulties at times is sometimes even relating. I mean, it's just a radical change. The language of the New Testament regarding those who believe in Jesus is a transformation, a metamorphosis, someone who's completely different, and it's expressed in completely different thinking. So that our thinking is completely different to the way it used to be. Radically different. Transformed thinking. So that now I'm thinking the thoughts that the Bible says I should be thinking. When the Bible gives me a task to bring every thought into captivity, I do it because I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm going to take those thoughts into captivity. But you know what happens? Most Christians, they just living on the feelings. If it feels good, I'll do it. I'm just going, I'm swaying by my feelings through life. So many Christians live like that. But God is saying, listen, we don't walk by our feelings. We're to walk by faith. And it's faith in Jesus. And Jesus is expressed in his word. So for me to be a follower of Jesus, I need to follow the word and be attentive to his word and lean not on my own understanding, but on his word, because it's his word that will change my life. It's his word that gives me my perspectives. If it's his word that directs me, his word will shape and mold me in life. I'm going to think different. We're meant to think different. I mean, who wants to think like the world? Let me explain it like this. In general, it's the stupid society. The world is stupid. Does that sound harsh? I don't care if it does. It's the truth. In the main, the stupid people are in charge. I'm sorry if you don't like the sound of it and it sounds harsh, but that's what I believe. The stupid people are in charge. We're not to think like the stupid people. We've been bought, blood-bought children of the living God. What's inside you is awesome. What God has done in giving us Jesus and the Jesus life is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to mankind. Jesus Christ is a central figure in human history, and it says in the word that he is alive in those who believe in him. And that life that we live now is the life of Jesus. Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives through me. And you know the remarkable thing about that book of Philippians in the New Testament, the remarkable thing which I didn't really get onto yesterday, but I would have liked to if we'd have had more time, is this, that throughout the book of Philippians, when Paul is under arrest by the Emperor Nero in Philippians, when Paul is in the prison in Philippians, He's writing to the Philippian church, thanking them for the gift of money that they've sent. And he's in the jail, and he's under Nero's arrest, right on the edge of death, being threatened with death constantly. And in that book of Philippians, it's filled with rejoice and rejoice again. Again, I say rejoice. And the joy of the Lord. And the whole palace guard know that I am in chains to Christ. Not in chains of the prison. Oh, no. Those chains of the prison were busted off in Acts 16. And if you think 10 years later you're going to put me in chains, you've got it wrong. I'm in chains, all right, to Jesus, he says. I'm in chains to Jesus, the author and finisher of my life. The one who gives me power to live this Christian life, to speak to mountains, to be a new creation, to be so different from the old man that I changed my name from Saul to Paul. Hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't Jesus awesome? Jesus, a wonderful Savior. Let's close this morning. Let's close this morning. And as we close, let's consider the words that we started off with again. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, my brothers and sisters, every thought to the captivity of Christ, to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah.